Hey there, it's Colt Cabana. Thank you so much for checking out the past shows from the archives. All the past ones in this feed are ad-free. I took out all the ads. If this is something you like, you can listen to every single episode of the Art of Wrestling podcast dating back to 2010, absolutely ad-free for only $4 a month on my Patreon. That's patreon.com/ColtCabana. All right, enjoy the show. This week on the podcast, I talk with some others on the New Japan roster. Bull James is here for DDT, and Rocky Romero joins me for the whole show. Enjoy it.
This is the Art of Wrestling with professional wrestler Colt Cabana.
All right, how you guys doing? Come on in, sit down, relax. You're about to listen to the Art of Wrestling, a professional wrestling podcast. It's a life podcast, it's a personal journal, it's an entryway to the minds, the souls, the hearts, and the lives of the people involved in the world of professional wrestling. I am your host. My name is Colt Cabana. I am a traveler. I am a Jewish man in a Japanese land. I am lost in translation. I am lost in transition. Most importantly, though, I am a professional wrestler, and I am not sitting here live in my studio apartment in Chicago, Illinois. I'm actually in a hotel room in, Rocky, tell me the town because I have no clue.
Hamamatsu.
and I'm only assuming you know that because you took a train here.
I took the train here, so I knew where I had to get off.
Would you have known otherwise?
Probably I wouldn't have asked.
This is a hard one to remember. No, we are in Hamamatsu, Japan.
Yeah, Hamamatsu, maybe Shizuoka, Japan or something like that.
Oh, the details, the details.
Did you see Mount Fuji on the way up?
Yes, and I have a story about that in a second. Before we go any further, this is a fan-supported, listener-supported podcast supported by people just like you, Rocky. We give it to you free of charge every single Thursday. ColtCabana.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts from. A couple great ways that you can support, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Tell a friend, tweet it out, TikTok. Talk it out if you got. You got TikTok, Rocky?
I don't even know what that is.
But you're in the music industry.
Tell me. after.
Facebook about it afterwards. The best way that you can support, cultmerch.com, digitalcult.com, t-shirts, buttons, pictures, posters, DVDs, digital downloads, premium podcasts, and much, much more. And of course, the other way that you can support, I guess not this version of the podcast, would also be going to rockyromeromerch.com, Rocky Romero, Roppongi 3K stuff, and much, much more. That's rockyromeromerch.com and cultmerch.com, digitalcult.com. Kevin Kelly, today on the ride here, I sat down with Juice and he was looking outside. And so Juice was like, hey, hell of a view. And I was like, yeah, I guess. And I thought he was just talking about the cars that were outside. Like we stopped at this mini place travel center. And then Kevin Kelly was like, I want to take a picture of Mount Fuji. And I just saw like mountains. I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. And then I get on Twitter and I look at Kevin Kelly's picture and I see this beautiful mountain, which is Mount Fuji. And I was like, wait, where was that? They were like, it's right there. And as I was saying that, I was bragging about how I got LASIK eye surgery and my view is wonderful right now. So it took me like four times and finally
thank God for Twitter that you were able to look at Mount Fuji on Twitter when it was right in front of you.
Right? People say how bad Twitter is, but I say, thank God for Twitter that I did see. But no, I looked out the window then and I was able to see it. I sent a picture to my mom.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was beautiful. Have you ever climbed Mount Fuji?
No, it's one of the things that I'm supposed to do every year that never gets done.
That includes sumo wrestling?
That includes sumo. You know, thank God I've, you know, done tons of baseball, done tons of other stuff. But
We just did baseball.
Yes, we did.
We did. I did not see Ichiro. You went to the night game.
I went to the night game. I saw Ichiro play. He did make an amazing catch, and more importantly, an amazing throw all the way from left field all the way to, or right field, I should say, to third base.
And you saw that live.
Yeah, and you should have heard the reaction from the fans. The whole place exploded like...
Including Juice. He was telling me how excited he was.
Juice stood up.
Like a little Mark
and started
boy.
Going, yeah! Shaking his fist in the air.
So this was my first baseball game. It was something on my list for many years. And I was so happy that I was able to see an American team versus a Japanese team.
That's rare.
The Hokkaido Fighters?
Correct.
The one thing I noticed, I think when a lot of people think about professional wrestling in Japan, or at least the fans who don't live in Japan, they always... In their head, it's just like these really quiet people, and like occasionally they clap for cool things or go, ooh, right? And so there was this section of cheerers, right? Is it in the outfield, in the middle of center field, kind of? Mm-hmm.
They beat the drum. there's guys with like horns and trumpets, and they're making, they have like full on songs.
And they do it for the whole inning while their team is batting.
Yeah. And each player has a different song.
Yeah.
So, which is cool. So you, and that's amazing that you got to learn the whole song.
Something, something, Ichikawa. Right. Something, something. And I bought the Thunder Sticks. And so, I was a good cheer. And my buddy Tsukasa said, next time we're going to go in the cheer section. I said, I was born to be in the cheer section.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm excited. So
that drum is right next to your ear.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm in for it. But what I noticed is in the middle there was pandemonium. The rest of the arena was just silent.
Yeah.
Like silent baseball.
They're doing
fans.
Like the oohs, yeah, and the ahs.
Except for us 17 gaijin who went to this game who were just being obnoxious.
Just heckling every batter and everybody that was up there. Yeah.
And there was one other white guy like a row away from us, like looking at us shaking his head. Yeah. So we're on tour here. This was another fun week. I documented the last week. It was my very first start of an actual tour with New Japan. So the last time I talked to you, I won my first round match.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And then we had a couple days off, and then we went to two different shows before we came back to Tokyo. So those shows were Akiyama and Nara.
Okiyama.
I mean, that's how you say it.
I can't even say Okiyama.
Okiyama was cool. It was this huge venue. We actually had to cut it off in half, but it still was loaded with people. And I think that was our lowest attended show.
Yeah.
Even though there was probably 2,500 people or something.
It's been funny just the way that you're like, as every New Japan show like this?
Yeah, I can only assume. I'm only assuming. And then the next night was Nara, and then this was this beautiful, beautiful building. It was almost, not to say like NXT has been making it okay to run these like three-quarter stage shows. Or, you know, All-Star Wrestling has done that forever,
right,
where they actually put it on the stage. They don't even put fans on the stage. They put the ring on the stage and everyone's just looking at the stage. So you're literally working one side of the crowd. But this is kind of what this was in a bit of a way. But this building was beautiful.
They had fans on the stage and kind of around it a little bit.
Yes, it was all around. Yes, you're right.
It was all around, but it wasn't very many people on that side. All the people were on the, you know, the big side.
The tiered seating side. Yes.
But the architecture of the building's really cool. It had like a really cool like pointed kind of triangle on the third level that was like kind of hanging over the, not completely over the tiered city, but like on over half of it, which
is
beautiful.
Yeah. I always feel when, as wrestlers, we play these venues, like we shouldn't, these are for Broadway shows. These are not for us scumbag professional wrestlers. But we snuck in and we were in Nara. And actually in Nara, I talked to Chase Owens a little bit. And because I wanted to get some perspective of some of the other guys who haven't been on the show before necessarily, who are living this New Japan life. Chase is one of those guys. Before I kind of jump into that, I don't know if there's anything you can add to help his story or to help give an outside view of what he would talk about for himself.
Yeah, I mean,
you've been here for so long.
Yeah, Chase's story is kind of interesting because he kind of was the guy that like the little engine that could kind of story in the way that like he tried out for New Japan multiple times in the States. Then he got a shot to come over with the NWA guys, and like, I don't know, 7 or 8 NWA guys came over, and basically he was the only one that really kind of stayed and cemented a spot for himself. And just over time, just gradually got better and kind of went up the ranks a little bit. And then now he got a huge opportunity being in the New Japan Cup and making it to the second round. He beat, obviously, Juice Robinson in the first round. He's one of our champions. So it's just pretty cool. It's cool to see where he's at right now. Now he's going to be challenging.
Wins and losses are big here, and so a win over a guy like Juice is pretty big. Plugging along in New Japan, trying to make his name, is starting to make his name.
Plugging along all over the world, you know, not getting the big opportunity, and finally gets this, you know, really huge opportunity.
Yeah, so here's Chase and I in Nara.
We're in Nara.
Oh, yeah, we are in Nara, which is Nara. Apparently a nice town. I saw videos of people playing with deers.
With deers?
Yeah. There's deers and beautiful Buddha temples here.
I did see the temple.
And I'm not even going to be able to take it in.
I have not seen a deer.
Well, they're apparently around and very friendly.
Well, we should go find some.
Yes. Do you have a match today?
I do. 8-man tag.
Huge. That's the theme I found.
My bread and butter, 8-man tags.
You're infamous for them.
I am.
How long have you been coming over now for these guys?
About 4.5 years. I think my first tour was October 2000, 14. Yeah, 14.
And like so. Snuck in that weird NWA.
Yeah, luckily. But then, you know, not many people know this, but they had a little
falling out.
And I probably wasn't going to be used, but Nick Jackson got hurt before the Super Juniors. And on 3-day notice, since I already had a visa, they called me and I came over. And I think that, you know, got me my full-time job.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme almost in every Japanese promotion, that they're super loyal, right?
Yeah, that's the whole, not just the Japanese promotions, but the Japanese culture. Yeah, everything's loyalty and respect.
Yeah, and they're just missing the hustle, and John Cena would fit in perfectly here.
He'd be the perfect guy.
Imagine John Cena getting his gear from the Japanese gear makers. It's like, can you make a perfect denim short?
Shorts, jorts.
And you know how beautiful the gear here is.
Oh, yeah, they'd be the best jorts ever.
How come you don't have a beautiful robe, Japanese purchased robe? You have nice tights now.
Yeah, my buddy actually does them, so he lives like 20 minutes from me. So that's
you're not using Japanese guys yet.
I'm not using Japanese guys.
You've refrained.
Yeah, I don't know if I've refrained, but just
easier. Money wise.
Yeah, maybe low on the totem pole.
And then yeah, so today. We're in this beautiful place, and do you take advantage of seeing the stuff around town?
Occasionally, if you can. But like you know, you said you're most of the time on the bus, drive, wrestle, on the bus, drive, wrestle. So,
take it for granted?
Sometimes. But, you know, occasionally you get the day off and be able to explore.
4 years, 4.5 years is like fast.
It is fast.
I'd imagine it seems fast.
Yeah, it hasn't seemed that long.
Before you know it, you've been here 10 years, yeah. Right? Like, that's the goal, I'd imagine.
Before you know it, you're 30 years this business, as Giotto would say.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I took the tens on today. He's like, oh, today, this year, 28 years in wrestling.
Holy shit. So many.
We're creeping up.
Creeping up.
And I wrestled you when you were 17?
Oh, yeah. And Hercules Wrestling Promotion. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Do you remember that?
Morristown, Tennessee.
You know what I took away from that show? Was Buddy Landell showing up. You remember that?
Yeah, because I think he lived there at the time. Or...
He was in like, he kind of looked a little dirty. Rest in peace, Buddy Landell. He looked a little dirty. He was in like a Canadian tuxedo and all denim and like just black hair, kind of looked scrubby. And then the next week he showed up at a convention with like platinum blonde hair and like a new suit. And I was like, I know the real Buddy Landell.
The red light was on. He had to perform.
Did you see him a lot around?
No. But one of my favorite podcasts of yours was with Buddy Landell.
Where he weirdly sounds auto-tuned.
Yeah. But some of the stories he was telling is just...
He was great.
Just great.
Yeah. Well, sadly... He's missed. But we have to be the new generation, Buddy Landell and Ricky Morton's, right?
We can do that.
Your hero, Ricky Morton?
Yeah, my hero, my friend, trainer, mentor, partner. I won't say crime, but...
Does he ever try to get on these New Japan tours?
Hey, I don't think he has, but, you know, he's gone down to the Performance Center to help train a couple times, and I think that's where he wants
that's
to be ultimate, you know?
All right.
He's always saying how he's... Getting older and, you know, in his time, wrestling is
winding down?
Winding down.
How old is he now?
63?
And he's still like, I got more years in me.
Yeah. I mean, and when he wants to, he can still do, like, Hurricane Ranas and suicide dives and when he wants to.
Amazing. But, all right. Well, have fun in your eight-man.
Eight-man. Oh.
The king.
Can't wait.
King of the eight-mans.
That's the word is the singles matches are so special, and that's why there is a lot of six-mans and eight-mans, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes those singles matches special.
It makes single matches special. Even like a tag match kind of becomes special because there are some, but there's not so, you know, there's not as many as you would normally see.
And that was the first time in NARA in a while, huh?
First time in NARA in like 15 years or so. That was the word that I had heard. And I guess part of the reason was kind of that whole area. NARA is kind of like an old city. It's an ancient city. It's surrounded like by Kyoto and Osaka and kind of that Kobe, that kind of area. So that was kind of like a heavy like gang kind of mafia area for so many years.
Okay.
So I don't think we came over Tanara because it was like a heavy gang town. So we didn't, that just, you know, sometimes gangsters would come to the shows and then, you know, they would tell us, you know, hey, you know, don't do anything in the first row and make sure you don't hit the rails too hard. Cause wow. Nobody wants to have any problems. But, first, you know, somehow New Japan always kept away from, you know, any of the organized crime stuff, you know, when they always did a good job. So they kind of stayed away from stuff like that.
For the better.
For the better.
Because we know other companies that didn't work out too
right, well. Right, right.
A lot of companies.
A lot of pride. Yeah. A lot of pride. I mean, pride was one of them, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Ah.
That was a Freudian, beautiful Freudian slip there. So we had 2 days off and we went to Tokyo. One of the cool things is we went to a sponsored dinner. Usually it's like someone who wants to help out and they will take us out to dinner, take us to a restaurant. What was this guy's name who took us kind of there?
Miyano-san.
Miyano. Okay, so Miyano-san, he took us to Papa-san's place. Right, and this is an old man
mm-hmm.
who's been feeding the wrestlers.
For 20-something years, since the 90s. So you saw it. It's an old Chinese restaurant. It's a hole in the wall. It fits what maybe 12 people max.
That
maybe.
Seems to be every Japanese restaurant.
Well, true. I mean, like, you're in here and like you can, like, they're frying up, they've been frying stuff up for like 20 years and it looks like they haven't really cleaned anything. I mean, everything's kind of like got that glaze of oil everywhere. We sat down, we ate the Chinese food. He had a very special chicken.
Yeah, there's this. So he brings out all these plates and like a whole plate of chicken, a whole plate of tofu, a whole plate of beef, like more than anyone should eat. And I weighed myself today and thankfully I'm the exact same that I was before I came here. Thank God, Jesus. That's a whole nother thing. But because these dinners, you just eat and you eat and you eat. But yeah, there's this whole plate of chicken. And like the lure of it, they would say that the chicken is called the Eddie Guerrero chicken.
That was his favorite dish there. And he would always, that's I think the only thing that he would eat. He'd just eat plates and plates of this.
Because those guys chicken. Dieted so crazy. And Masa told us the same story about Bisque Crenoir. We won't say his name, but right, like we know his maniac tendencies of just like needing to eat as clean as humanly possible. So it's just like only chicken. And so I guess at this restaurant, Papa-san, they would just go work out because there's pictures. There's so many pictures on the wall. There's pamphlets. They break out the picture books and we're looking at Scott Norton and Rick Steiner.
And hundreds of pictures, yeah.
And so these guys would just go there and then all Eddie Guerrero would eat is just this boiled steamed chicken. And it's called.
Yeah, they're all in there like, workouts like
Zubaz and Gold's Gym,
cut off like sweatshirts and stuff.
Yeah,
and then they just look like they're having a great time.
And so at this dinner is also some of the other wrestlers from the other promotions. I'm not going to get into everybody who was there, but that's kind of one of the fun things of these trips. I feel I remember my very first tour. I had a dinner with it was like me, Kenny Omega, Bison Smith, rest in peace, Taiyo Kea, or Mossman as I know him, Phil Atlas, Jimmy Yang. It was just this like mishmash of everybody from every different promotions. And to me, there's something romantic about it. It's just like all these guys from different places coming together.
You know, we see each other every day and, you know, it's wonderful to see you as much as we do every day on tour. We end up spending a lot of time together because we're traveling, we go to the show, and then really, you know, we'll eat together, and then really the only alone time you get is when you actually go back to your room
and watch or watch 9 seasons of any TV show.
Exactly.
That seems to be a theme here,
too. That's a thing. But it's nice to kind of mix with some other people and just kind of have some other energies around, you know, and, you know, that was a great night the other night.
Yeah, and Bull James was there too, and he's doing his first tour with DDT. I think I called him Bull Dempsey in here. That was his name in NXT. He's got a million names. He's one of these gallows types, right? Which is funny because they're buddies too. So, but here's Bull James and I. We're on the train, so we take the train to some of these places. It's not all just chauffeurs and New Japan buses. We jump on the local train. That's how many people get everywhere in Tokyo, especially in Tokyo. And we just kind of chat it up a little bit. A lot of times what would happen is we get together with different wrestlers from different companies.
Yes.
And now I found myself with Mr. Dempsey on a train after a big fun meal.
A very fun meal.
Is this your first big sponsored dinner tonight?
Second. I went on one earlier this tour.
A blind sponsor date?
Blind sponsor date. But it was good. He didn't make any moves that weren't appropriate. He didn't try to you know, finagle his way into my pants or anything.
Today or the guy before?
No, the guy before. The blind one.
Where, he was a blind man?
No, the blind date.
Where did you find this man?
Which man?
The first one.
The first one? I think he always takes the DDT guys out in Hiroshima.
Okay.
But he tried to pawn his daughter off on me.
And?
Oh, I mean, you know. But it was just very, very strange to me because he was singing the Star Spangled Banner.
Just anything.
And high-fiving me.
That's, I get
offering
it.
Offering me his daughter while in Hiroshima and I am an American. Yeah, very weird, not cool. I kind of, you know.
I do understand the idea of like anything. If I'm talking to a Japanese person in America, I'll be just like, chopsticks? Anything.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Star Spangled Banner? Yeah, but, America?
You know, there was more history to it than that. And it kind of weirded me out. When and I it first, turned me off on the whole sponsor thing real quick.
When I first went to Hiroshima, the owner of NOAA took me to the museum.
Oh, no.
And I think he was just like, oh, history, like, you'll like this. But I was like, oh, my God, I'm a piece of shit.
I wouldn't mind going to that.
Yes, but not...
But not...
With your boss.
Right.
Being like, hey, I brought you over here, like...
Yeah, hey, come... hey, look at this.
Look what you fuckers did to me.
No.
Well, it is your first tour.
First tour, yes.
That's exciting.
It's awesome, yeah. It's the best. It really is. It's what... one of my goals when I got released from WWE was to come to Japan. So to actually have it come to fruition, and, you know, obviously there's the offers every now and again of, well, hey, brother, fly yourself over, and I'm not going to do that. I'm still going to, you know, my thing is, if you're going to go and, like, tour somewhere, you're going to earn it, and somebody's going to bring you over because they see something in you enough to bring you over. And I always kind of stuck true to that, and I'm happy that it paid off now.
And is DDT a fun fit? Are you doing all the silliness?
So,
see, you in my head, you're like this big bruiser guy, and I'm sure in your head too. But then
yes,
also, you know how to work that style. I know you know how to, because you've been on all those Jersey Indies forever or whatever.
The Jersey Indies, but look at like the last 6 months of my WWE run was comedy. You know, and people, you know, I purposely made people forget certain things. So now when I do have a serious match, but I imply some comedy here and there, and I put something here or something there that just kind of gets a laugh. People just forgot about my comedy stuff, so now they don't expect it. So now when they get it, they go, oh, fuck, he's funny, too.
And who's on the team with you for DDT?
Antonio Honda, your favorite.
Well, Gaijin.
it's right now it's me and Mike Bailey.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. And he's obviously a high flyer, kind of, you know, straight-laced guy. He'll have some fun when they ask him to. But I think the cool thing about DDT is everyone immediately goes to Dino and Joey Ryan and the dick spot.
Right.
And people don't think about, or maybe just that they don't see it, but DDT has like a lot of good young talent that work their asses off every show, and like it's good Japanese wrestling.
They do have a blow up doll and a bicycle that's very over.
Right. I saw the bicycle last weekend, and it's sitting downstairs from where I'm staying, and I kind of want to ride it every day.
Were you on a show with the giant panda yet?
No, but I want to wrestle him so bad. I want to wrestle the panda. I said the day I landed, I went, they're like, oh, welcome to Japan. I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Where's the panda?
Yeah, yeah. I said the same thing about the blow up doll.
Yeah, give me the panda.
Yours, Yoshihiko. I want to say hi to.
I think it's maybe because I'm such a huge mark for Andre.
Right.
That I want to wrestle
Andrea,
the giant panda.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Give it to me.
Well, keep us updated on if you wrestle Andrea.
You will be the first person that gets pictures and video if I do.
Thank you. Would you ever want to wrestle Andrea, the giant? Do you know that giant panda gimmick? Have you seen that?
Oh, is that the name, Andrea the Giant?
Andrea the Giant.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's pretty
great,
I
would
right?
love to wrestle Andrea the Giant.
So after these shows, we're finally back at Corican Hall. And the cool thing about Corican is all these giant superstars, right? Like, they're all there. It seems to be that these shows are always kind of sold out, especially for New Japan. And even when I was doing DDT and NOAA, like, there was never like a real empty house at Corican, which is kind of cool. And it's the real Japanese experience. You know, Okada, Tanahashi, the Tenzan, the Kojima, they're all here. They're all at Corican, and you get to see all the whole New Japan experience. I think one of the cool things that New Japan is doing is they're trying to bring that experience different places,
mm-hmm.
including London, New York, and Dallas. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. August 31st, we're going to be going to London for the first time. Copper Box. You can get tickets. They're on sale now. And then MSG, which is just like a couple weeks away, which is awesome. It's already sold out, so, you know, you can't get tickets for that. But I can tell you, We're selling tickets for Dallas.
And they just started. They just released tickets
just
for Dallas.
Just went on sale. July 6th is the date. It's the opening date of the G1. It's going to be like this historic event because usually the G1 is only in Japan, you know, opening day. And the last 3 days are the big days of that. And for the first time ever, it's going to be international. New Japan's bringing it to you, you know?
What's the history with the G1?
It's the most grueling, most awesome heavyweight tournament in the world.
In the world.
In the world, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, and so this year at the Tokyo Dome, so many people came over to the Tokyo Dome to get that Japanese experience. Mm-hmm. It was like 5,000 or 6,000 people, right? Like outside of Japan. And because you hear about this lure and this experience and this wonderful Japanese experience, especially even New Japan and the Tokyo Dome, and just the whole idea of these wrestlers and how famous they're getting now and how good they are, right? How many stars can you have in one match? How many stars can Meltzer be giving these guys to let you know how great they are?
He's breaking the bank every time.
So, and not everyone can afford to fly to Japan.
Right. And basically the story of Wrestle Kingdom starts with the G1 because the winner of the G1 automatically gets the title shot to go into Wrestle Kingdom. So it's in the main event. So it's kind of all plugged in together and all kind of fits the puzzle. But for, like I said, they're bringing it to the States for the first time for international fans to make it easier on them so they can come and check it out. And, you know, be a part of that historic event.
So if you're in Canada, like, hey, just go to Dallas.
Dude, that's easy.
And not Tokyo. And right. I guess, you know, the G1, the importance of it is the first night and the last couple nights. Is that right?
No, I think they're taking a big gamble by doing it outside of Japan because they could just do it here. And you know, it'd be really easy for
guaranteed
them.
Pack.
It's guaranteed. But they, you know, they really are really trying, especially this year, to expand and really to bring the product to the fans internationally who I know really want it and they really love it and care about it.
Guaranteed is also Korakuen, which I call it. I think you call it. Give me the official pronunciation of it.
Korakuen.
Korakuen. Korakuen. Korakuen. Do you say Korakuen?
Korakuen.
Korakuen. Korakuen Hall. Jesus Christ. And I got there a little early. Rocky's still laughing over here. I got there a little early and as they were kind of setting up the ring, I was sitting there with Hanare, who has a pretty fun story, and we just kind of scratched the surface of it a little bit before we get into our stretching routines or whatnot. I don't know if you have any fun Hanare stories before we...
I think, you know, he's a guy who started wrestling in New Zealand. You know, there's really only like one place to wrestle in New Zealand. Right. So not a lot.
I've been trying to get booked there for 20 years now.
And he left New Zealand, went to, I think, England, tried to wrestle there for a bit, but couldn't really get anything going. So he went back to New Zealand and that's where he met Fale. Fale was opening up his dojo. So he said, hey, come train with me. Trained with Fale for a bit. And Fale was able to, he said, well, you got to go to this tryout. You know, this New Japan tryout. So he sent him the New Japan tryout where everybody goes. And he did all the squats and all the things and got accepted into the dojo and then started, you know, his career from there.
You got to take that invitation if you get accepted.
Of course.
It's huge.
It's huge.
And it's not just like you're allowed to just go there. There's hundreds of people trying to get into this dojo every single year.
Hundreds of people that submit their applications that don't even make it to the actual tryout itself, you know?
They have like physical tryouts where a lot of people go and they have to weed those out to how many they even accept to come, huh?
Right. And we were talking about it the other day. There's some guys on the roster who got accepted to the tryout, but tried out like X amount of times and didn't even make it they didn't get accepted into New Japan after the tryout. They had to go their own route to actually, you know, finally end up.
And then who are the young boys today, these days?
Well, we've got Uemura, who's just a handsome fella. He's got a bright future. We got Tsuji, who's one of the heavyweights. Narita, who's kind of in the middle of kind of being, maybe if he puts on a little more size, he might be a heavyweight in the future. But I think Shota Umino is the guy that everybody's got their eye on. He was in the New Japan Cup along with you, but he got eliminated in the first round.
I tagged with him a couple of shows.
He's great. You know, he's Red Shoes Uno's son, and he I don't know, there's something about him. I think he's going to be a huge superstar.
And that's the cool thing is that you know they're going to be the next wave of guys.
Yeah, it's they're in the system. Who knows? You're like, that's what they always say. They're like, always be really nice to the young lions. Because in, 5, 6, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, you never know, they could be the next Okada. They will be the next
Okada. Someone's going to be the next Okada.
Somebody will be the next Tanahashi, So, make sure you're nice to the young lions.
That's why I was nice to Hanare here. And I let him. And we sat down in the tiered seating of the infamous Korakuen.
We are at the famous Korakuen Hall during the New Japan Cup. This is, for me, it's like my home, home office, so to speak. It's where my best wins and best losses have been.
Yeah.
Toma Akali's in the middle of the ring right there.
He's setting up the ring.
Yeah. Right. Tall giant just setting up, tightening the ropes. It's a 203-centimeter tall man tightening the ropes.
Now, how come there's not, young Japanese wrestlers doing this?
I think he got here, but the bus is on the way. He's on the bad boy bus, so.
So all the young guys aren't here yet?
No.
They've already done all this?
They'll be here in about 5 to 10 minutes. So the ring crew would have set up the ring, but they leave the ropes for the wrestlers to test them out and get them the right tension.
Yeah. And at one point you were doing all this stuff.
Yeah, man, I was a part of the ring crew when I first started. And they teach you it at the dojo as well. The ring crew sometimes comes to the dojo and you have to tighten the canvas and they teach you how to tie it all up.
There's like ring crew class?
Kind of. They come in and randomly at 7 p.m. and teach you how to tie the canvas. Because sometimes they're low on staff, so they call a young boy from the dojo to come in early.
So you went through the whole young boy experience, is that right?
Yeah.
So where are you from?
I'm from Auckland, New Zealand, but my family's from the countryside, New Zealand, so I am as country bumpkin as they come.
Oh, so you're kind of Juice. We don't realize, he said there's 1,000 people in his town. Nobody from your town was supposed to ever do anything in life, right?
I don't think anybody. Apart from rugby. There's always rugby stars that come out of New Zealand. And my uncle was one of them.
Is that right?
Captain of the New Zealand Rugby League team.
Wow.
But apart from that, no, not many people do come from the country. And
so you did a little wrestling before, but then you entered the dojo system.
Yeah. So like any other a young vagrant, I thought I knew everything there was to know about wrestling. Then I come to the dojo and get my ass beaten, get a fella slap me around, and just realize how little I know.
Who is in charge? In my head, it's Liger, right?
Yeah, he's the main honcho, but then you got your ranking system, so it's pretty much by tenure. Whoever's been there the longest is the boss at that point in time.
But they're there every day training?
Yep, most of the senpais come in every morning. You've got the Hontai group, which is Liger, Tiger, Makabe, Tanahashi. They're in there every day. And I'm coming, they teach, they eat, we cook, we clean, we train, and that's the lifestyle. And I did that lifestyle for 2.5 years.
Did you do any research on that lifestyle? Do you know, had you ever heard stories of that kind of stuff?
I definitely heard of the dojo style, and it's actually one of the reasons I wanted to come here as opposed to other places was because of that dojo style. Very regimented, very army-like. Mm-hmm. So they'll make a warrior out of you.
Did you do army stuff back home?
No, not at all. Not at all.
No, no. If I'm going to go to the army, I might as well get famous after the army.
Yeah, no. I like innocent people too much to join the army.
Oh, bless you.
No, but I've always liked the thought of the challenge of being in a dojo, just training all day, every day, eat, sleep, and breathe wrestling.
And you speak Japanese now? Ish?
Ish. I speak, I call it puro desu nihongo. So pretty much Japanese enough to be a wrestler.
So what was your studying technique? Did you?
Just
around the young
just
boys?
Copy. Just copy what everyone else is doing and you should be all right. Yell. Everything's yelling. Everything. You have to yell. The louder you yell, the more respect you're showing to the senpai. So, and I'm a quiet guy day to day, so it was a bit of a step in the uncomfortable zone.
And that's great. And then you get out of the dojo and then you're just plucked in as one of the regular wrestlers, right?
Yeah, usually with what they do with the Japanese guys, which is the only thing I haven't done in the Japanese style, is go on excursion. Mm. So Jay was one of the foreigners to go. Fale was one of the foreigners to go. Tama was one of the foreigners to go, but I missed out on that. But
where did Fale? excursion?
He went to North America. So I think he was based in St. Louis, Missouri. But he trained along with the guys like Kyle O'Reilly and Tony Kazina. And
okay. Davey over there?
Yeah, Davey Richards. Yeah. He's getting those boys over to be trainers in New Zealand every few months. So if anyone wants a holiday in New Zealand, go hit up Fuller.
So you're hoping for a fun excursion, maybe. Not fun, but like...
It'll be good to go around the world. I mean, no wrestler can be the best if he just stays in the same place. So I'm a bit used to Japan. It'll be nice to go away, but that time will come when it's ready, right, when the company's ready for me to go.
But for now, you're not in the dojo system. You're wrestling. You're on all the shows. You're doing it, the New Zealand dream.
Yeah, it's buzzy. I'm just a little moldy kid from a poor town. But I'm here, and it's real, like, surreal to think about it, where I've come from to where I am now. And I had a big documentary in New Zealand.
Ooh, I love documentaries.
Sort of.
Is it on the internet?
Yeah, I think the news excerpt's there. But it was about how when I was in school, a lot of my friends and all my classmates remember teachers telling me I'd never be a wrestler. And I said it on a news interview, and then it just blew up. It ended up getting like 80,000 views, which is a lot in New Zealand. Yeah. It's like,
that's the best huge. Fuck you, though, isn't it? Yeah. Being here and wrestling in front of 1,800 people tonight.
Yeah.
Sold out.
I think the big motivation is people telling you can't do something. I don't know if it was some sort of reverse psychology, but they've done it to me.
Hey, you'd think people would stop telling people that they can't do stuff by now, right?
This is the world. They try to tell you something's impossible. Well, existing right now and being alive is impossible, but here we are.
I proved them wrong. Well, cool, man. Hopefully people start following you on your journey from this, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, bro. Thank you very much.
It was fun meeting you and touring with you this tour.
Thank you, bro. It's been an honor. I've been kissing your asshole to her, and I'm not going to stop now.
Well, please don't.
It was not just watching them set up. You know, I did some wrestling. You were commentating.
I was.
And I did a lot of reflecting after the match I had with Yano. Also, it was a very silly match, which sometimes I'm like questioning myself because of the legend of Inoki in New Japan Wrestling. You know, like, I don't know how much Colt Cabana Yano fits in that. And I'm scared a little bit, and not like ashamed, but like just hoping nobody's mad, if that makes sense.
I wouldn't worry about that.
I don't know
that.
About that. But everyone seemed so happy.
When I told you this, when I saw the brackets and I saw that that could be a possibility, and then it actually became like a possibility, or it actually became real and it was going to happen, I was super excited because, it's you. You're my friend. I've known you for 15 years or whatever. But it's like, you know, this is going to be a good match. Like, you know, it's going to be so different from anything else that's on the card. And it's going to be like a standout match. And the people, they love Yano so much that they're like, he's their guy, you know? So just to see you come in, who's like, you know, you're a newcomer here. And it's like, they're chanting, Cabana, Cabana.
Yeah, at the very end, like the whole crowd was chanting, Cabana, Cabana.
Yeah,
like, awesome. It was overwhelming. And I did like a lot of reflecting. And I just remember like when I was like, 22, like just like daydreaming of like going into like maybe getting over to Japan and then like becoming this like weird cult hero. I talked about it on a couple of podcasts ago with Vinny Marsaglia, like just in my head, like that was a thing that maybe like, doesn't everyone think that? And I guess I'm the only one, but
I think I kind of thought that way too, though, because I always wanted to go to Japan. That was like my thing.
And like, you, they're just like, oh, here's this mask. You're the next Tiger Mask. Like, right, right. And then you'll be a legend. Like, right. That's like these daydreams that I had, and maybe you had too. And yeah, so,
no, definitely.
I felt that like that might've been the closest thing that match that ever happened to me, where after the match, the whole crowd was so happy. And just the reaction from everybody, the wrestlers afterwards, but just especially that crowd that was just like, it was just like a rush of cheering for me and happiness. And I watched it back a little bit and you hear them laughing. And so I don't know how to compute it in my head. Where is it like, did I just do something like special, or was that just what we do? You know, I don't know if you had those. Well, like,
I think like, you mean, it kind of touches on what you were talking about earlier, like, oh, you know, I think about Inoki and this and that, you know, but it's like wrestling in New Japan is, you know, we'll always have that base, that spirit will be like there, where it's like, you know, the Inoki fight guys and the Riki Choshus and stuff like that, the Tomohiro Ishii type guy. But I think that just as important is the variety of the show, and something that's actually unique and special. And I think what you guys did the other night is very unique and special, especially for what happens here in New Japan. And I think that that's going to be something that I wouldn't doubt they'll continue to talk about. That'll be one of the highlights of the New Japan Cup for like a long time.
Yeah.
You know,
and that excites me. Yeah. And I was hoping, I was like, just curious, like, is this something like in my head, the way I hope the way I look at Les Kellett now, who's been dead 20 years or whatever, like maybe in 40 years, people like weirdly will watch this match mm-hmm. and hopefully future matches with Yano and I. And it's something like they talk about in like funness and fondness. And that's part of the fun of this is our legacy, right?
Mm-hmm. But it's like watching Steve Wright versus, you know, Tiger Mask, like, or like, you know, just a different way. It's a different version of it. You mm-hmm. know, it's just, it's put together different, you know?
A bunch of my friends said you and Kevin Kelly were making me look real nice. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Kevin had a good line. What was he saying about you? He was saying,
overnight sensation in 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the buzzword for this tour, I think.
That's cool.
And the tour goes on. I'm not done yet.
No, I know. You're in the semifinals.
I'm in the semifinals. We'll talk about it next week.
Holy cow.
Before we do get out of here, though, I and Rocky, we both have some plugs and...
upcoming events!
All right, the best way to support, ColtMerch.com, DigitalColt.com, Twitter and Instagram, @ColtCabana, Facebook/ColtCabana, my storytelling podcast, Pro Wrestling Fringe, plus past archives of the show, old and new, are ad-free on StitcherPremium.com/Colt. Use the code Colt, get a free month. ColtWrestling@gmail.com is my very public email. Maybe you're a promoter, want to put me on your upcoming show or convention. I also have a YouTube channel. I also have a website, ColtCabana.com. That's where you can send something to my P.O. box. RockyRomeroMerch.com.
You can get the finest wares by Chico El Luchador. You can get Rocky Romero merch stuff. You can get Roppongi stuff. Also check out ChicoElLuchador.com. I just dropped the third episode of the documentary that I'm doing on Chico El Luchador. It gets a little sad. Twitter, @AzucaRock, AzucaRoc. And you can also find me on Instagram, same name, AzucaRock.
Upcoming March 20th, Shizuoka. Thursday, March 21st, Shizuoka. Saturday, March 23rd, Niigata. Sunday, March 24th, Niigata.
Niigata.
There are two eyes on there. That's all NJPW1972.com. And you can watch him on New Japan World.
NJPWWorld.com.
Friday, March 29th, Charleston, West Virginia. Facebook/Pro Wrestling Conquest. Sunday, March 31st. Sunday, April 14th. Baltimore, Maryland, Columbus, Ohio. I'll be doing commentary. ROHWrestling.com. Friday, April 3rd through the 6th. It's Mania Weekend, New York City adjacent. Wednesday, Rahway, New Jersey. WrestleProOnline.com. I'm tagging with Santino Morella. I'm looking forward to that. Thursday, Queens, New York, DDT Pro. Thursday at 11 p.m., Jersey City, New Jersey, AIWrestling.com. All day Friday and Saturday, I will be doing the convention. Friday night, I will be doing Joey Ryan's penis party, WrestleCon.com. Saturday, I'll be at the Garden, ROHWrestling.com. Saturday, April 20th, Anchorage, Alaska, WrestleProOnline.com. Rocky, upcoming events?
I will be here with you, Mr. Colt Cabana, until the 24th, and then I will hopefully find myself in New York for MSG, but I will hope to see you all July 6th in Dallas, Texas for the opening of the G1. Tickets are on sale now, Ticketmaster.com, or for more information, NJPW1972.com.
Intro music by the Ukulele Teacher on YouTube. Outro music by Superfun Yeah Yeah Rocket Ship Podcast. Cover art designed by Jimmy Lee. Photo by James Musselwhite. Thanks to Bull James, Henry, Chase Owens, and you, Rocky.
Thank you.
For coming on the show. Thanks to our sponsors, HighSpots.com, an amazing VOD service with a brand new $5 wrestling. Marty and I, we just got it done, and it's out now. Also, PWGs, Egos Amigos, AMA knee pads, gear, masks, even a wrestling ring. And 1HourTees.com, they help run ProWrestlingTees.com. I got a Pro Wrestling Tees shop. Rocky, you got a Pro Wrestling Tees shop?
I do have a Pro Wrestling Tees shop. It's /Rocky Romero.
But also go to Rocky.
Also go to Rocky Romero merch, yeah.
All right, this has been The Art of Wrestling. For Rocky Romero, I'm Colt Cabana. Thanks.